Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. How is everyone doing this wonderful Sunday evening right here on Glorious Gospel Vibes with your host, Globe Pope, Minister Derek Tuggle, and Minister Lois Brutman, Inspiration Corner. How is everyone doing? What is going on today? Oh, bless the Lord. What's going on?
What's up? How's everybody?
Good evening. Good evening.
Yes, Lord. We just thank God for being here. Thank God. I tell you, it's been a rough weekend for me, y'all. I know I got healing inside of me. And Jesus never failed me yet. So he has came through for me again and again. I tell you, I just thank God to be able to be on the air today.
Again.
Thank God. We are here, right here on Glorious Gospel Vibes today. We have a great program. We're going to be talking a little bit about Israel and the peace of Israel. And we thought we would, you know, kind of change it up a little bit, play some independent gospel artists in relating to some of this stuff that's going on and to revive the spirit of Jesus Christ in your soul today. I tell you, because it's all about Jesus. And I tell you, we want to see what's just going on. I'm out down here on this earth. I'm telling you, it is going wild. Everybody is losing it. They're losing it. And it's only just beginning. We got to be strong. God said, be strong in the power of his might. We got to be strong. Come on now. It's getting terrible. I'm telling you. So we got to, you know, all stand together in prayer. Continue to pray for the peace of Israel, for the peace of this world, because it is, it's just beyond words. So we're going to start our program off. We're going to say a short prayer, and we're going to get right on into what's going on. Praise God. Father, right now, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we just thank and praise you, Lord God, for who you are in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for choosing us and picking us up and bringing us to the reality of ourselves, Father. Father, today we thank God for this radio program that's on the air, Lord God, and it's by thine hands, O Lord, that it is possible. Father, we thank you for our listeners. We thank you for everybody who tunes in, all of our stats men. How we thank you for our hosts and all of their families and everybody that's just being a blessing in the kingdom of God. Father, we ask that you strengthen us to be a blessing and to say the right things and to be encouraging to your people. We thank God for who you are and all of the talents that you have blessed us with in our bodies, Lord God, for all of the singers, the musicians that call in and send in their MP3s. We thank God for them, and we thank God for every good and perfect thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Minister D, what's going on today? I know you got something for me. I know you got it.
I know I got something for you. All I can say about this article is, God, if this is living proof that God has his hand on your life. So here we go. In St. Cloud, Florida, a 9-year-old Florida boy amazingly only had minor injuries after fighting off a 100-pound alligator he encountered while swimming. Now, the little young guy's name is James Barney. He was swimming in the lake in Florida when he said he felt something clamped down on his foot. And he said he just immediately hit it and let it go a little so he can pry his jaw open. He said first he thought someone was just playing with him, and he didn't know what happened. He reached down to grab it and felt his jaws and teeth. The 9-foot alligator left only a minor cut and a tooth on his leg.
What? Now that was God.
Nobody but God.
9 foot.
Nobody but God.
That was God. And and he lost some. He didn't lose his feet nor hand, but he lost a tooth.
Yeah.
That's God. Oh, my God. See, I know how those alligators are from Florida because I came from Florida. Alligator Alley, I didn't even want to get out on the road to go through there. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
now,
I'm telling you,
if I'm the parents, boy, you don't jump in none of the lakes ever.
In the lake. How old he was again?
9 years old.
Nine. And a 9 foot, he was 9, and it was a 9 foot alligator.
400 pounds. Look, if it ain't a pool at the hotel, you ain't getting in it.
You better check that.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, boy, nobody but God. He's an awesome God. He be right there with me. See, we all got our angels around us. You know, he has planted angels around us, and I tell you, they probably said, no, you better not take a foot nor a hand or nothing, but just scare them up a little bit. You got a little scary, you know, a little couple scratches.
Better
is
yet,
he bragging about that he pried the jaws of the alligator open or anything like that?
Yeah, he said he hit it, and he said, so, you know, to try to pry his jaw open a little bit, and that was it. But now I think about it, if he ain't swimming in the bathtub, he just ain't swimming.
Well, I tell you, that's a good one. I tell you, y'all know who did all of that, though, right? We know,
amen.
Right?
Oh, God
what?
Did it.
God.
Better
did
yet,
it. Hit
the water hose.
God did it, y'all. Cosmopolitan. Is he? This man crazy.
Yeah.
right. God did it. God did it. Yes, he did it. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did it. God did it.
Woo, that was close.
God. Make you want to shout.
Okay, all right. Well, I tell you, we got to begin to pray like we never prayed before in our lives. Okay, we got to come off of them cliches and get down to the real nitty-gritty. I'm telling you, y'all don't understand. Y'all don't know what near real nitty-gritty means, but that means get down to it. Because
all right.
It's time to get it together. It is time to really get it together. We wanted to talk a little bit about now. For all of those out there that has, that know, I have said that we're going to talk about Israel and the peace of Israel, that peace will be still in Israel, and that there's so much fighting going on right now. People are dying. Jews are dying. Christians are dying. Everybody that they can think of is just dying. Even Israel, you know, they're fighting back, and even though they're getting the majority, you know, they're winning on the far as, I don't even want to say the word, but anyway, they're winning. It's still, people are dying, and it just hurts to know that all of this is going on, and it's been going on from the beginning of time that they've been fighting, seems like, over there. And it's all about, you know, land and property and oil and, you know, all the things that is they feel is more precious than self, than the body, than a human. And I don't understand it. I don't mean, it's way beyond
it's basically a holy war. And that's all it's been since the beginning of time. You know, you got, the Christians, you know, they believe that it's their territory, and others believe it's their territory.
Uh-huh.
If you want to go back to, I hope I'm not saying it wrong. If you want to go back to Isaac and Ishmael, you know, how that whole thing went down. So it's like one believe is theirs and one believe is others, the others. You know what I mean?
Well, we're going to kind of skim it. I'm going to give you a little history of Israel. And just to figure out how all of this come about, how did all this fighting start, you know? First of all, for those that, you know, that's listening in that only heard of Israel and don't really know where Israel or what Israel is, it's in the Middle East. It's a country in the Middle East, Israel. And it's situated in the region of West Asia, on the south side or eastern side shore of the Mediterranean Sea. And it shares land borders with Lebanon, which is to the north, and it's got Syria in the northeast and Jordan on the east, the Palestinian territories, or the state of Palestine, which is on the West Bank, and Gaza Strip on the east and southwest, you know, side. Egypt and the Gulf of Aqaba and the Red Sea is on the south, and it contains geographical diverse features. So this is where Israel is located. And Israel defines itself as a Jewish and democratic state. It is the world's only Jewish majority state.
Right.
So now we want to know why. You know, a lot of people don't even know why they fight. They just know this has been going on forever. And just to give you a little background on what kind of how this started or what it, you know, how it went on. From what I've read and documented, it is observed that the Arabs, they had about 640 times more land than the Israeli people had. The population of the Arab countries is about 60 times more than that of Israel, and the Arabs have very abundant oil resources. Now, the territory of Israel is about 21 square kilometers, while that of Arab is about 13 million.
Right.
But still, the Arabs claim that the land of the Arabs claim the land of Israel, and they always desired to fight with Israel for the land, and do not want to maintain any peace nor harmony with them. So now from the years about the 1500s to the 1900s, the countries of Israel, Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan were under the rule of the Ottoman Empire. And after the event of World War I, the empire was mandated. Now France included Syria and Lebanon, while the Great Britain annexed Jordan and Israel, which was called Palestine. Now, according to the Balfour Declaration that was signed in 1917, the Jews were given their own territory, which was called their homeland. Now, the Jews were allotted land, and they started to renovate their construction and develop their area. This became attractive to the Arabs, and they started to immigrate to the land of the Jews. You know, every time you get something, you start fixing up your eyes, everybody start fixing up theirs, or they want to, or they gonna come over on your side and claim yours. You know how it goes, you know.
Right.
But now, in the year of 1923, Great Britain made this land of the Jews into two administrative states and designated a part of that land, which is on the west side of the Jordan River, for the Jews, and the rest was named Transjordan, which was taken away by Great Britain. After about a 24-year period, Great Britain made Transjordan a separate Palestinian state. Now, the Arabs started attacking the Jews attacking the Jews out of nationalism feelings. Now, they revolted against the Jews during the period between 1936 to 1939. Now, this interval of fighting did not bother Great Britain very much, as they were in need of extensive oil reserves in the Arab territory. See, they had a purpose. They needed that oil. So the Jews did not stop battling against the Arab Palestinians. And this was brought to the attention of the United Nations. And in 1947, the United Nations voted for the division of Palestine into Jewish and Arab Palestinian states. And the Arab Palestinian state is now Jordan. Most of the part of the land offered to the Jews was extensive desert. But this proposal was not accepted by the Arabs. They didn't want to have that. They didn't like that. So now in 1948, the Jews declared Palestine as their independent country of Israel. Now, the neighboring Arab countries such as Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Iraq, Libya, and Syria declared war against the Jews. And the Arab leaders were keen on killing the Jews and occupying the state completely next to them. And the Arabs were living in Jewish Palestine. They started leaving that place, and they were thought that they could re-enter the state when all the Jews was killed. They would kill them all up, and then they could come on in. See? However, it was fought, and all the Arab nations, and they managed to defeat them. And how did they defeat them? God was with them. So now, Jordan became a place which to harbor the terrorists to attack Israel every now and then. But see, it's done got out of control now. It's out of control. No separate state was formed for the Arab Palestinians. So an organization called PLO was formed to destroy Israel completely, which has not been possible even until now. So this is what started all the fighting.
You really have you really have a political bias against Israel, because, you know, one of the common claims is that the occupation of the Palestinian land was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, if you can look into it, it's not true, but, you know, and you know, the media have portrayed that too, but it is, you know, you got everybody on all these sides saying, hey, you know, this is mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine.
We are the true Jews. We are the true...
Yeah.
You know, we are, you know, and they got this thing about God called, you know, you have, you know, since God said that was his chosen country and whatever nation, it's been a complex game. We're going to discuss that a little later, but right now we're going to play something by independent gospel artist Phillips Dukes, and he's out of Florida, and the name of this tune is called Israel Shall Be.
Shall be.
Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Lord has said that Israel shall always be a nation.
Elohim, He nation shall always be a nation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord has said. Nation shall always be a nation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord has said. Nation shall always be a nation.
Praise the Lord. Israel shall be. Israel shall be. Philip Dukes, West Palm Beach, Florida. It's all right, Phil. Get it on. They shall always be a nation. And a nation that needs to stand. And I'm just not only praying for Israel, I'm praying for the world. Because the world is gone wild. You say girls gone wild, the nation gone wild, the whole world gone wild. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, we're going to get back to a little bit of going over just what was going on with Israel. But now, the question what I said, why? People ask, why did God choose Israel to be his chosen people? You know, a lot of people ask that question. Why? Why would he choose us? Why didn't he, you know? See, God's word stands regardless, y'all. The word of God is true. It is true.
It's not changing.
He's not going to change. But now let's look at what God said in the scripture, Genesis 12 and 3. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy own father's house into a land that I will show thee. This is the Abrahamic covenant. God could have chosen anyone he wished to become the father of a new nation to be the vehicle of his testimony. Maybe he did call others. The Bible doesn't relate any info about whether anyone else was called upon to father a new nation. But one thing is for certain. If anyone else was called, they didn't respond the way Abraham did.
Right.
Abraham obeyed, and he left Ur, and he departed from the pagan world to follow God. So in the essence, God did not choose Israel. He chose Abram. Abram chose to accept the invitation. It is noteworthy to remember that the name of Israel only came into existence when God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Genesis 12, 2 and 3, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all families, or he didn't say some families, he said all families of the earth be blessed. And in this covenant, God, what'd you say, minister?
No, go ahead.
Oh, in this covenant, God pronounces blessings for all people through the action that he and Abraham had entered into an agreement on. Now, does that sound like God favors one people or over another, and so far as his love and compassion is concerned? No, indeed not. God loves every nation, every tribe, every family. It is expedient for God to choose someone to embody the lineage of his intended blessings. The great irony of God having a chosen nation is that if God hadn't chosen someone somewhere, sometime, then nobody could ever be the benefactor of an all-encompassing love that God wishes to bless us with. God foreordained from before creation that he would manifest himself into human seed pools of nation and become the express manifestation of God's love for all mankind. By entering into the covenant of an obedient Abraham, God was in fact keeping his word. The great concern and mystery to me is not that he chose who he chose, but that he would choose at all. Thanks be to God for choosing anyone, anytime or anywhere. This choice proves that God is love. This choosing by God further shows that he loves lost people just as much as he loves obedient people. After all, the Abrahamic covenant instituted a plan whereby all people could bless through their own freedom to choose to accept God's manifesting. So now Peter, in 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise.
His promise.
That's what
yeah.
it says. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So then in our modern world of nation states, we need to be mindful of the explosive nature of the ethnic undercurrents, which Satan utilizes in his pursuit to destroy that ages-old testimony of national Israel to all the gentle nations of the world. The gospel is to be preached unto all nations and all people, races, and cultures.
Yeah, but you ask the question, you know, say, why did he choose Israel? And I'm
okay.
reading here out of 2 Samuel. It said, and what nation on earth is like your people, Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself and to do a great thing for you and awesome things to your land?
Right. Bless the Lord. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. See, God's not biased against the Arab nations or the Palestinians or anyone else. To the contrary, he has offered even the enemies of Israel to his love. There are Christians today in every nation of this world. Christ is the only means of peace and harmony among nations. The nations of our world are afflicted with demonic madness that hates the fact that God has chosen a nation to demonstrate his omnipotence. But I tell you, you know, it's just madness. And at this point, I'm just like, you know, God's word stands. He doesn't change for nobody.
Right.
I don't care. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
His word is true. His word is true.
You know, I'd like
when
to
God
say
God chooses any one nation or person, you know, Satan always trying to get in on everything. If he blesses anybody, Satan singles them out and targets them for persecution. God said, okay, well, just like he did Job.
Right.
So when God chose Israel, in essence, the devil chose them also.
Right. The devil only attacks blessed people.
No, come on.
There you
now.
Go. Because he don't need to attack his own. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So if you're looking at a blessed nation, then yes, he's going to attack the whole nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I read it here in Ezekiel. It says, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone and bring them into their own land.
Uh-huh. Every time I try to read Ezekiel, I'll be reading Ezekiel, my hands start shaking. Oh, I don't know if I want to read this.
Yeah.
Ezekiel and Jeremiah, you don't play with that. You don't want to read. And most people say, no, Revelation. Yeah, Revelation, but y'all read Ezekiel and read Jeremiah. Boy, you'd be like, man.
Well, you understand, Ezekiel was a little bit more radical. Ezekiel, you know, he didn't care what it was. He said, look, if I need to, you know, in street terms today, he said, look, if I need to go into the clubs, if I need to go into the crack house, wherever I need to go to preach this word, then that's where I'm going.
That's where I'm going. I'm going to do just that. Oh, Lord, help your servant. I want to be obedient to just when you think of, Lord, I did this and I did that, you think of, oh, I ain't doing this. You just feel like you ain't doing enough, you know, just I don't know. But anyway, we're going to play the Great Commission by New Recovery in Motion because, boy, we got to get this thing together. We got to know what we're doing. We got to get out here and do what we're supposed to be doing because our time is in there. It's winding up and winding down, okay? The Great Commission.
That's right.
me hear you say yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. By the word of the Lord, teach the gospel, every man, woman, boy, and girl, to go into the highways and compel them to come. It's all about Jesus and building his kingdom.
Go witnessing,
tell your neighbor,
tell a friend,
tell some stranger,
Jesus said
that he must be
born again to be saved.
Say yeah,
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 oh yeah,
yeah,
say yeah,
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 yeah. We gotta keep on working, working while it's still day, to win some soul for Jesus, no matter what people
no
say.
No matter what people say.
So maybe I wanna listen, but keep on planting seeds. One plants, another warns us, but God give the increase. Whoa!
Go witnessing.
Tell your neighbor.
Tell a friend.
Tell some stranger.
Jesus said
that ye must be
born again to be saved.
Oh,
go ye
therefore,
teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost.
Go ye. While it's still day,
and
we gotta,
keep working.
Oh, no matter what people
no
say,
what people
and
we gotta keep working.
Oh yeah, working while it's still day,
working
and we gotta
keep working.
Oh, no matter what people
no matter
say,
what people we gotta keep working,
and
we gotta keep working.
Oh,
we gotta keep working.
Oh,
we gotta keep working.
And we got 'em,
we got 'em,
and mama don't go,
we got 'em,
and daddy don't go,
we got 'em,
and sister don't go,
we got 'em,
and brother don't go,
we got 'em,
we got 'em, keep it working,
we got 'em,
keep working,
we got 'em,
keep working,
right quick before we go to our inspiration corner and prayer for all of Israel. God chose the nation of Israel to be the people through whom Jesus Christ would be born, the Savior from sin and death, John 3:16, as we know it, John 3:16. God first promised Messiah after Adam and Eve's fall into sin. That's in the chapter 3 of Genesis. God later confirmed that the Messiah would come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I'm just running to you, so you think I'm not coming out of the word at you. Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason why God chose Israel to be his special people. God did not need to have a chosen people, but he decided to do it that way. Jesus had to come from some nation of people, and God chose Israel. However, God's reason for choosing the nation of Israel was not solely for the purpose of producing a Messiah. God's desire for Israel was that they would go and teach others about him. Israel was to be a nation of priests, prophets, and missionaries to the world. God's intent was for Israel to be a distinct people, a nation who pointed others towards him, God, and his promised provision of a redeemer, a Messiah, and a Savior. For the most part, Israel failed in this task, see. So, however, God's ultimate purpose for Israel, that of bringing the Messiah into the world, was fulfilled perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. So we want to keep in mind that everything has been accomplished as to what God has said and promised in his word. And he brought his son here. And if it was not, if it had not been for Jesus dying on that cross, Lord, I don't know where I would be. I don't know about you. Because it's the blood that has set me free from all sin.
Oh, yes.
I tell you, his word has been fulfilled perfectly. We got to remember that. So let's begin to read that word and get that word in us and go and do what God has told us to do. And right now we're going to bring Minister Lois Candy Vernon with Inspiration Corner. We're going to pray for the peace of Israel before we close out. Okay, bless the Lord, Lois.
Candy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I declare war today. Hallelujah. I'm not in Israel, but I can use the weapons of prayer and fasting. I want to know today, whose army are you fighting in? Are you on the battlefield for the Lord? Somebody said I'm on the battlefield for the Lord, and I'm going to fight until I die. Now, I've got to get ready for battle, but what will I need for I realize who I'm fighting? So I have to make sure that I put on the whole armor. Yet we're engaged in a spiritual war. What's the battle cry? I declare war. If you were to take the time and think back before you were a Christian, Satan wasn't thinking about you. You were no threat to his kingdom, no danger to his plan. But now that you are a Christian, saved, sanctified, and on the battlefield, you had better be ready for battle. I ain't just talking about Israel. You better get ready for battle, too. Now, on that day that you enlisted as a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ, you automatically had declared war on the devil. He's always trying to make the grass look greener on the other side. But when you get over there, you realize that that tube has to be watered. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a puppet master that's pulling all the strings, and it means business. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And by any means necessary, and it don't matter your status. You could be the pastor, and Satan wants you to cry out and say, I can't do this any longer. The burden of this church is too much for me to carry. Some commit suicide while others simply give up and close the doors. Pastors, I dare you to declare war. The deacon says, Lord, they depend on me too much. I do everything around here. Satan wants you to say, I'm going to stop and see who they're going to call on now. But deacons, I dare you to declare war. The mothers of the church, there must be the lights for the young ladies in the church. Satan whispers in your ear and says, I ain't going to tell these girls nothing. Their mamas should have raised them. But mothers, I dare you to declare war this evening. Ushers, he places in your mind that people are going to sit where they want to sit. So I ain't directing nobody. But ushers, put it on your war clothes right now and declare war against the devil. I dare you to declare war. Cry loud and spare not. I got my war clothes on. I will work the work of him that sent me while it's day. For one night coming, no man can work. I'm going to put on the whole armor that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that tells me that the devil is a trickster. He ain't nothing to play with. He goes on to tell you what we are fighting against. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, he said again, come to you the whole armor, telling you a second time that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand and hold your head up high. I dare you to declare war this evening. Declare war. Stand and tell the devil, I want my joy back. Give it back, my peace. All of that you stole from me, I want it back. The king of the heavens suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I want it all back. And above all things, take on that shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm telling you today, you need to declare war, that the race is not given to the swift, not a battle to the strong. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and put on that whole armor and declare war against the devil, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it, and I am going to declare war in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord, the Lord, Lord. Judah McAllister, the Lord's Prayer. Bless the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, thank you, Lord. I tell you, without Jesus, what would you go? What you going to do without him?
Amen.
I can't imagine being without him. Not in this life and the life to come. I will not be without Jesus. I love him.
Don't leave this life without him.
Don't leave this life without him. I tell you, you better think twice, three times, whatever you need to do, but don't leave this life without Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus in you, because you know where you're going. And if you don't believe there's a hell, I don't know what to tell you. I can't even explain. I've listened to different pastors preach on it. The people that don't believe us a hell, but I only believe the word of God, which says there is a heaven and there is a hell.
Well, you know, a lot of them don't preach heaven and hell no more, because, you know, I think it's become taboo, you know, to preach heaven and hell, because there's so much going on in the church. Now, I'm not saying it's right, but it's like they won't really hit it where it really needs to be hit. Hey, people, if you don't get it together, you will go to hell. You know, the sugar coating, you know, come up with all this other stuff. But no, you need to know hell is real, and it's hot.
It's real. Yes, sir. Yes, it is. Yes, it
this
is.
This has fumbled. If any indication of healing, anything like this has fumbled, whether it was 90 or 95 degrees outside, I can't go.
Can't go. Won't go. It just can't happen, y'all. I tell you, we want to stay mindful of what's going on in this in the world and all the confusion and all the chaos and all the hatred and all the fighting and all the madness that's going on. Which people say, well, you know, it's gonna get better. No, I hate to say it, but it don't look like it's gonna get better. But I tell you. And that's in the earth. But God gonna watch after his people. You can believe that. He has never failed us yet. And he has no intention to, I believe in my heart and soul that he has no intention of doing so. But we wanna say a prayer before we close out today for Israel and the people over there in the Western Asia, all over in that area and really for the world, but mainly we're talking about Israel today. To stay prayed up and to stand on God's word in regards to the people of Israel and that these terrorists will cease fire. They say they're going to cease fire and then they start back firing on them again like we just was joking. But we're going to pray that they come out victorious regardless.
Amen.
Father God, we ask right now that you remove the veil you have sovereignly placed over the eyes of Israel, that they would recognize that Jesus, first of all, is your Messiah, is their Messiah. Lord, show your mercy and favor to Israel in this set time. We pray for the current leaders in Israel, including the Prime Minister, the Mayor of Jerusalem, and all of those in the military services. Raise up government leaders in Israel, worldwide. Who will not seek to divide the land and who will recognize the unique significance of Jerusalem in God's end time purposes. Father, we ask that you settle that he who has scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Father, continue to draw the Jewish people to you according to your sovereign plan. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as grass upon the housetop, which wither before it grows up. Lord, deal justly and swiftly with your enemies. Destroy and divide the tongues of those who incite violence against Israel. In the name of Jesus, we bind every false religion and every false doctrine that does not acknowledge your eternal plan for the land of people of Israel. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, as Psalms 125 and 3. Father, break the strongholds.
Yeah.
Of religion, pride, and wickedness that seek to control Israel and our world. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make Israel his people. Use us to help others understand your plan for Israel and your love for the Jewish people. The Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing. He makes their plans to no effect. That's Psalms 33 and 10. We declare that God's purposes for Israel will be completely fulfilled and that he will be glorified in it all. Show your love and kindness to your people, Israel, and keep them as the apple of your eye. Hide them under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress them, from their deadly enemies who surround them, Psalms 17, 7 through 9. We pray that you will remember your covenants and promises towards Israel, especially when others rise up against her to swallow her alive. And when their wrath is kindled against her, the waters will not overwhelm her. God will not give her the prey to their teeth. Oh, bless the Lord. That's Psalms 124. Sanctify your great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which have been profaned in the midst of Israel. The nations shall know that the Lord is God, and when he is sanctified in Israel before their eyes, sprinkle the clean water of your word on Israel, Father, and cleanse her from her filthiness and from all her idols, including abortions and occults. Oh, Lord, give Israel a new heart and put a new spirit within her. Remove her heart of stone and give her a heart of flesh that will respond to the Holy Spirit and cause her to walk in your statutes. Keep her commandments, keep your commandments to do them. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel and for it to remain Israel's undivided capital. Father, in your mercy, vanquish the tremendously powerful religious spirits which dominate the whole territory, Jewish, Christians, and others. Father, we thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do on behalf of Israel and our nation and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I just thank God for what he's doing and what he's going to do. He is not slack in his word, it says. He is not slack. Slack. You know, y'all know I got a little Ebonics going on. Slack, slack. Well, we love God with our whole heart. Right now, we're going to hear a little thing by another song by Phillips Dews called Two Wings, and we're going to be up out of here in a few. But this is a very short song. It was so pretty, and I just thought it was so uplifting. Y'all just listen to this lady that sings this song. It's beautiful. This is George Dews. I mean, it's Phillips Dews. George, I'm sorry.
Two wings, two wings, two wings to fly away to glory. Two wings, two wings, two wings. Sometimes I wish I had two wings to fly away and be at rest. No more trials, no more pain, fly away. My troubles, I'll look to the hills and call on my Lord. He anointed me and I cannot fly away. But sometimes I wish I had two wings, two wings, two wings to fly away to glory. I had two wings to fly away where no one can find me. But I know that's not God's way. Fly away. I've got to stand and endure my troubles. I'm tired of being in these shoes. At night I close my eyes and I cry out to you. Can't fly away. But sometimes I wish I had two wings, two wings, two wings to fly away to glory.
Sometimes I wish I had two wings. All right, then. Oh, that is a cute little song. I love that song. Oh, bless the Lord. Well, y'all, another episode right here on Glorious Gospel Vibes. We thank everybody for tuning in and listening in to our broadcast, and we will be on this Sunday also 8 o'clock. Gospel is golden. Check us out. We're on the air again and again. We love to have fun. We thank you all for tuning in and listening to us. We just like to have fun and speak the word of God, because that's what is very, very, very important. Minister Vernon, we thank you for being on the air with us. Thank you for Inspiration Corner, which is a very big inspiration to us. Thank you.
Amen.
And we ask everybody, Minister D, thank you for being on the air with me. We are out of here. God bless you. We're going out right now with For True by Globy Pope. Bless you.
It's for true, Lord. Yes, it is. For true, Lord. It has been.
my life. For true, Lord, all the toils and strife. For true, Lord, when I was wrong.